a cynical habit of thought and speech, a readiness to criticize work which the critic himself never tries to perform, an intellectual aloofness which will not accept contact with life's realities. All these are marks, not as the possessor would feign to think, of superiority, but of weakness. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, episode 132, Waters of Purification and the Man in the Arena. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10 Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
The Man in the Arena. It is a phrase associated with Theodore Roosevelt because of a quote that is often cited in his name. The quote is indeed accurate, and it derives from a speech that the then former president gave in Europe. The Theodore Roosevelt Center website tells us, quote, Theodore Roosevelt delivered the speech entitled Citizenship in a Republic at the Sorbonne in Paris on April 23, 1910. The speech is popularly known as the Man in the Arena. His statements at the Sorbonne were part of a larger trip to Europe that also included visits to Vienna, Budapest, and Oslo. On May 5, 1910, he gave his Nobel Prize speech. This trip came in the midst of Roosevelt's frustration with the Taft administration and followed his African safari with Kermit. After completing his tour of Europe, Roosevelt would make a triumphant return to the U.S., end quote. Kermit, of course, is Roosevelt's son. In the sentences preceding the most famous paragraph in the speech, indeed, in the sentences preceding one of the most famous passages Roosevelt ever said, T.R. reflected on the dangers of cynicism. Quote, the poorest way to face life is to face it with a sneer. There are many men who feel a kind of twisted pride in cynicism. There are many who confine themselves to criticism of the way others do what they themselves dare not even attempt. There is no more unhealthy being, no man less worthy of respect, than he who either really holds or feigns to hold an attitude of sneering disbelief toward all that is great and lofty, whether in achievement or in that noble effort which, even if it fails, comes second to achievement. A cynical habit of thought and speech, a readiness to criticize work which the critic himself never tries to perform, an intellectual aloofness which will not accept contact with life's realities. All these are marks, not as the possessor would feign to think, of superiority, but of weakness. They mark the men unfit to bear their part painfully in the stern strife of living, who seek in the affectation of contempt for the achievement of others, to hide from others and from themselves their own weakness. The role is easy. There is none easier, save only the role of the man who sneers alike at both criticism and performance. End quote. Roosevelt, in other words, says that there are those that seek to sneer at the strivings in which others engage, and those that do sneer, those that embrace cynicism, delight in noting those that have striven and, in the process, stumbled or failed. But for Roosevelt, the very dangers and pitfalls involved in seeking to achieve something great is part of what makes this striving laudable. And this brings us to the most famous part of his remarks. Roosevelt said, it is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. End quote. Striving to achieve involves coming short, because as Roosevelt put it, there is no effort without error and shortcoming. Often, either figuratively or literally, the person that Roosevelt calls the man who is actually in the arena will only achieve with a face, in Roosevelt's words, marred by dust and sweat and blood. With this in mind, we will approach a fascinating facet of the mysterious mitzvah known as the red heifer. As we discussed in a previous episode, it is the ashes of the heifer that are utilized in purifying one who has become defiled through contact with the dead. The ashes are mixed with a special type of water, and in a 7-day period, the defiled person is sprinkled twice with this ritual solution. Interestingly, even as this will help bring about the purification of the defiled, according to the Torah, the one who actually sprinkled the water, the one that helped bring the purification of the other about, will become slightly defiled. In the famous phrase of the Talmud, the waters of the red heifer are mitaher et atmeim umitaher et atorim. They bring purification to the impure and defile the pure. For the rabbis, this is part and parcel of the way in which this mitzvah is known as a chok, a law whose metaphysical reasoning we cannot fully understand, but which we apply in trust of the wisdom of God. To this we can add that, in a symbolic form, there is a deeper lesson. The one that seeks to bring greater purity to the world will encounter some impurity. It is not, to speak metaphorically, entirely safe if one wishes to face an impure world and make it more filled with holiness to ensure that there is a decrease in defilement. The one that sprinkles the water helps the other, changes the world. But that, as it were, comes with a metaphysical encounter with impurity, which must be dealt with as well. One might imagine that one would readily refuse helping the one in need of purification if it involves an encounter with impurity. But many great endeavors involve metaphysical or physical dangers. Roosevelt's sentence after his most famous passage is this: "Shame on the man of cultivated taste who permits refinement to develop into fastidiousness that unfits him for doing the rough work of a workaday world." End quote. The work of a workaday world. Those are Roosevelt's words, and that is what is incumbent upon us, each to seek to make the world more pure, more holy, more moral, and not to be deterred by the impurity that is there, so that we can ultimately study our attempts at impacting existence and see in them, please God, a life well lived. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow, signing off.